This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of talk a little bit about Joe Biden's speech, the system, elections, election cheating, system disruptors. It's going to be a heavy show tonight on I'm Right. Talk about trust. We're going to get into Joe Biden, his speech, the system, social media, me being censored. It's going to be a really great show, but just pause all that for a second and let's start talking about trust. You see, trust is a funny thing. There's an old saying, I didn't come up with it, and I'm sure I'm messing it up somehow, that love is like automatic, it's given. Trust is earned. And if trust is ever lost, it has to be earned back. That's just the fact. If you and I went into business together, we're investing in Kelly's Burgers, right? We're investing in Kelly's Burgers. And I tell you I'm putting in $10,000 and you're putting in $10,000. We're going to go make a bunch of money. Woohoo! And I take your $10,000 and instead of investing in Kelly's Burgers, I go down to Cabo and drink Mai Tais for 10 days with your 10 grand. Well, I'm going to have a very difficult time getting more money out of you, am I not? Hey, you got another 10 grand? Sorry about that Cabo thing. Anyway, I need another 10 grand. You would say no. And now we're at a point where we're at in a country. I'm going to go somewhere with this in a second. Stay with me. This is where we're at as a country. You see, right then, I violated your trust. I took your $10,000. I have a choice in that moment if I want another 10 grand out of you, which you may never give me. But if I want another 10 grand out of you, I need to earn your trust back, right? I don't know whether that involves begging forgiveness, finding a way to come up with the money to pay you back beforehand. It may even take time, but I have to earn your trust back. But here's one thing I definitely cannot do. In no way can I get your trust back by saying, "What do you mean you won't give me another 10 grand? Give it to me now. You give me that 10 grand. Give it to me." That doesn't help you trust me. In fact, it would cause you to distrust me more. We do not trust our institutions in this country anymore. We don't. And again, it doesn't matter if you're on the right or if you're one of the people on the left, one of the communists who hate watches the show. Honestly, where you are doesn't matter. It is a fact. Half the country, maybe more, does not trust the institutions of the country. We don't trust our healthcare institutions. We don't trust our law enforcement, federal law enforcement institutions. We don't trust the IRS. We don't trust. That trust is lost. I don't care about your opinion of it. That's a fact. That trust is lost. You cannot continue as a nation if people don't trust its institutions. So that trust must be earned back. But here's the thing. None of the institutions who have lost our trust, none of them seem even a little bit interested in earning that trust back. They don't. All they're doing is yelling at us or saying things to us that make us even more distrustful. You don't trust your elections. I don't trust our elections. There was some shady things going on. Everyone saw it. What exactly happened? How bad was it? I don't know. You don't know. But the election system, the institutions, need to earn our trust back. It's important that we do trust our elections. That is an important part of being a free country, trusting the elections. How interested are they in getting that trust back? Well, here's how interested they are. Here was Joe Biden from last night.
We know that more and more ballots are cast in early voting or by mail in America. We know that many states don't start counting those ballots until after the polls close on November 8th. That means in some cases we won't know the winner of the election for a few days, until after, a few days after the election.
How'd that make you feel? Did you feel your trust increases? It's increasing there? Do keep in mind that nations around the world, nations around the world regularly have elections and they know the results on election day. All the time. This is the norm that has happened. It was the norm before we even had, you know, computers and smartphones and things like that. It was the norm when it was all paper ballots. You knew election results on election day. Now, at a time where we have the least amount of trust in our elections, the President of the United States himself is saying, hey, it might be days. Look, we don't know. They're not even a little bit interested in earning our trust back. Oh, by the way, speaking of trust, you know what else doesn't gain trust? Censoring people. Scolding and censoring people. That causes an increase in distrust, actually. I put this out on social media, actually on Twitter, put this out before Joe Biden's speech. I said, pro tip, if your state cannot count every vote on election night, there's cheating in your state. Entire nations count their vote on election day. If you can't, it's because you don't want to. Now, that's my opinion. Many, many, many Americans agree with that opinion. What did Twitter do with that? They marked my comments as being, quote, misleading, and they blocked anybody from being able to like or reply to it. Now, do you think, setting me aside, I don't care about me, do you think the people who read that initially or read that at any point and then saw it was being censored, do you think that increased their trust or decreased their trust? When the system immediately came and said, no, it's misleading, all elections are fair. Well, that's how we know you're lying. That's how we know you're lying. And look, I want to get to this. Let's go to the Elon Musk thing here before we go back to the election thing really quickly. Elon Musk bought Twitter and everyone's excited about it. And look, I'll tell you, I think it's a good thing, right? He seems like he wants to do some good there, make it more free, less communist. But I don't think Elon Musk has any idea what he's up against. I don't think Elon Musk has any idea how rotted and corrupt and powerful this evil system is, and how even the richest man in the world is going to be very, very limited in just how free he can make that place, as you just saw by my opinion being completely censored. Now, back to the election. Trust. Joe Biden, well, you know what? Before we get to Joe, I'm going to do another little story here. It's my show. I don't care. I'm going to do another story. Let's talk about a village. Let's say you and me, we live in a village, 100-person village, right? And we're going to have an election. Now, there are two different ways we can do the election. Way number one is on election day, we will have one designated place in our village. You must show up, leave your little mud hut, come down and show up, bring an identification, present your ID, cast your vote right there, and drop it in the ballot box right there. And that's the one spot. That's it. That's one way we can do the election. Or there's a second way. Look, maybe you don't want to go down to that one place. You're busy. You got to feed the cows. So instead, We're going to mail them in. And what we'll do is we'll have several people designated to go around to the different mud huts, and they'll collect your ballots from you, where they'll bring them to another hut, and then we'll try to organize them there, and then bring them to another hut, and then organize them there. And from there, we'll bring all the votes to the place to be counted. Now, which way is more secure? There's a reason nations, again, around the world, ban mail-in voting. Countries like France that have banned it flat out said it's too ripe for fraud. So in 2020, we had the election with the most mail-in ballots ever. Most mail-in ballots ever. That's a fact. But again, these are not opinions, these are facts. Now, following basic chain of custody logic that we just went to, that is actually the least secure election ever. Doesn't matter whether you believe the election was stolen or cheating or whatever you believe. It doesn't matter. No matter what you believe, the most mail-in ballots ever means for a fact it was the least secure election ever. Just basic logic. Now, maybe you don't believe there was cheating. Maybe you do believe there was cheating. I will tell you, I wasn't sure on election night, right up until the point the Democrats and their lackeys in the media started using this line here.
Party. The great irony about the 2020 election is that it's the most attacked election in our history, and yet, there's no election in our history that we can be more certain of its results. Every legal challenge that could have been brought was brought.
You see, if you'd gotten up after that election and said, hey, I know some things look bad, we're going to dig into it, we're going to be very open with the public, we're looking into this. Yeah, you're right, there were a lot of mail-in votes, we're going to look into it and figure out what's what and make sure, do everything we can to make sure it was on the up and up. You might have had me. But the second I knew something really dirty happened was when they all went with it. It's the safest election ever. Well, now I know you cheated. Because that's not possible. It's not possible to have the most mail-in ballots ever and be the safest election ever. Most mail-in ballots equals least safe election ever. That's simply a fact. These are all facts. Understand what we're up against here. And one more thing here. I do need to do a little disclaimer. You see, people get angry about the opinions I have. And that's fine, I don't care, it doesn't bother me. That comes with the territory. So this goober on Twitter decided to complain about my opinions on elections and things like that. And he decided to let Fox News know that he was extremely upset with me. Okay, so I need to clarify something. I don't work at Fox News. I have friends who work at Fox News, but I don't work at Fox News. I've never worked at Fox News. I work right here at The First, and I love it here. And I work on iHeartRadio. I do radio for iHeart, and I do TV right here for The First. So if you're going to tattle to my employer, you're welcome to do so. In fact, I love it. I'll tell you, I think it's hilarious when my bosses at The First call me or text me and we're all laughing at you and how stupid you are, or my bosses at iHeart call me, text me, email me, Jesse, look at these idiots. We all get a great laugh, but make sure you actually CC the correct employer. Also, I'm pretty sure I've been banned from Fox News. They haven't even called me to come on in like a year. All right, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am most definitely right. Now, Greg Price is going to join me next. We're going to talk a little bit more about last night. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Eden Pure thunderstorms are miracles. They're just little black box miracles. It's what they are. I love these things. And if I sound passionate about them, it's because I hate allergies, man. I remember so many years. You know how many eye drop bottles I went through most of my life? Just my eyes would just get it so bad, I hated it. Eden Pure Thunderstorm took my allergies away. Get yourself a 3-pack of these things. I keep one in my room, one in my kids' room. I keep one in my general living area. I keep 3 here at the studio. It's constantly cleaning my air out. You will be able to, you can taste the difference in the air. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, gets you $200 off a three-pack. EdenPureDeals.com code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
The overwhelming majority of Americans believe our democracy is at risk, that our democracy is under threat. They too see that democracy is on the ballot this year.
5 minutes later.
Must remember that democracy is a covenant. We need to start looking out for each other again, seeing ourselves as we the people, not as entrenched enemies. This is a choice we can make.
Joining me now, my friend Greg Price, who does all these clips of all these speeches. I love the guy. Greg, all right. Oh, by the way, senior digital strategist for X Strategies. Greg, he talks out of both sides of his space, but setting that aside, doesn't that seem like a dumb speech to give 6 days before an election? That's like the exact opposite kind of speech he needed to give, or am I crazy?
No, essentially, if you could translate all of the jargon that he used in that speech, it would essentially be, I know I'm about to get my ass handed to me on a silver platter on Tuesday. he knows that his party is donezo. And like, so the only point of that speech was essentially to try and fire up his base, the Democrat base, to try and drive up turnout, and essentially to just fearmonger for votes by saying that if you vote against the party responsible for $5 gas, that it's literally the end of democracy. But and maybe like in 2018, that would have worked when it was a favorable political climate to Democrats. But the reality is Joe Biden has one of the lowest approval ratings of any president in modern history. The economy, the border and crime are at the top of the minds of every voter, all issues that Joe Biden has atrocious records on. In not even 2 years, they've, you know, given us a 40-year high in inflation, you know, record high gas prices, record high illegal border crossings, and record high crime in blue cities across America. Those are the issues voters actually care about. And Democrats know they can't run on any of those issues that people actually care about. So they're just gonna talk about defending our democracy and also killing unborn babies.
Okay, Greg, you're better at this stuff than I am. I'm in a bubble. When Democrats hear defending democracy, democracy's at stake, does that actually move the needle? Because to me, that seems like such a lame call out.
Yeah, it's completely lame, and it appeals to a specific group of people, namely the Democrat base that thinks actually may think democracy is going to end if Republicans take control of Congress, and essentially just the online, you know, BlueAnon NPCs on the internet. That's essentially who Joe Biden is trying to appeal to here, because obviously independents this doesn't appeal to, and just the average American citizen. Like at the end of the day, they're paying $5 for gas, groceries are insanely expensive. They see what's happening on the border. They see the crime that's happening across America. And those are the issues that normal people actually care about, not just Republicans, independents, but Democrats as well. But, you know, Joe Biden can't run on these issues. So all he can talk about is just fear-mongering about democracy. And all that appeals to is just, you know, the little BlueAnon people is essentially who he's trying to turn out 6 days before an election. And it's not going to work. He's going to get destroyed.
Okay, well, from there, let's go to noted linguist John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. Had another banner day yesterday with this.
Summer of 1986. I think everyone that ever plays football in high school was, you know, at a kind of like a trade-out kind of football camp. And there wasn't any interest to have me come play here, you know.
Greg, that race is over, right?
Oh, yeah. Oz has led in every single poll since the debate happened. And he's now, even Real Clear Politics and 538 are now projecting Dr. Oz to win the Senate race in Pennsylvania. And, you know, and not only the polling, but I just truly believe that the partisanship in America is not strong enough that even Democrats could look at that and go, yes, that's the person that I want representing me in the Senate. And, you know, you think back to where we were in this race over the summer, and John Fetterman had essentially double-digit leads in every single poll, because at the time they were hiding him, and they were hiding the true extent of his recovery from his stroke, and they're still hiding it because they're refusing to release his medical records. But people are seeing this for what it is, and it's showing up in the polling. And at the end of the day, that's why Dr. Oz is going to win.
I'll be honest, Greg. I'm happy, right? But I'm a little bit bummed. I would really, really enjoy that guy being in office and getting these sound bites all the time. Greg Price, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Great to be on with you.
All right. Ron Klain got up and called Joe Biden's speech last night one final warning. What? Who are these people? Darth Vader's in office? We're going to talk to Miranda Devine about that next. First, let's talk about you and why you're doing the wrong things when it comes to buying ammo. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're buying ammo. Buy ammo. Buy lots of ammo. But you're probably doing what I did for so long. I'm really not judging you because I did it forever. I have all these websites where I would go to try to look for ammo. Who has the best prices? Who has cheaper 9mm? I did it all. And then I'm on this group text with all my buddies who shoot guns. Hey, this website has a deal. And it's endless, right? It's endless trying to find ammo you can afford. There's one website. You only need one website. AmmoSeek.com. Why? Because they do the searching for you. 260 online retailers on one website. You don't have to stay on the group text anymore. You don't have to chase every sale across 10 different websites. You have access to 260 of them at AmmoSeek.com. Go and subscribe. It's free. Go sign up. It's free. Tell them Jesse sent you. Go get your ammo. We'll be back.
The president decided a few days ago that it was important to issue one final warning on this issue to make very clear, to leave no doubt, that we have people out there still peddling the big lie. People now raising the issue of election denial in this election. And of course, the horrible incident involving Speaker Pelosi and her family, you know, showing the rising threat of political violence.
One final warning? Joining me now, the great Miranda Devine of the New York Post. By the way, check out her awesome new newsletter, Devine Online. That's a really great line, by the way, Miranda. All right, Miranda, one final warning? The president's warning us now?
Well, look, Ron Klain's comments are just perfectly in sync with the sort of ominous rhetoric that we've been getting from the president. And, of course, it's ominous because his party is going into a historic humiliation, and it's all because of him. He's been the most terrible president. He's been the opposite of what he promised. And I think that a lot of people who voted for him, including all those suburban women that have come back, you know, to the strength of 27 points in the turnaround, have come back to the Republican Party. Those white suburban women were fooled by Joe Biden. Like a lot of Americans, they thought that he was going to deliver what he promised, unity, you know, the grown-ups back in the room, compassion, empathy, competence, foreign, you know, affairs experience. I mean, honesty, integrity, every single thing that he promised, he has delivered the opposite. And he was the opposite. I mean, he said before the election, he said, character is on the ballot. Compare me to Trump. There's no contest. Well, character might have been on the ballot, but the American people had the exact wrong reading of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not what he pretends to be. He's not Honest Joe. He's not a nice man. He's not a sweet, kind family man. He doesn't have empathy, as we saw after the botched Afghanistan withdrawal when he was so callous and just talked about his own woes when he met with the families of those 13 service members who were killed thanks to his administration's utter incompetence. So America has seen what he is, and they can't wait to get rid of him and his party.
Miranda, what is he? I mean, you've been so great at covering this. You're obviously, your Hunter Biden laptop coverage has been frigging fantastic. That laptop from Hell book is awesome. But what is Joe Biden? And this is what I mean by this. The Democratic Party's clearly gone far left, but they run the gamut, right? Some are just stupid. Some are corrupt. Some are committed communists. Some are, I mean, it runs the gamut. Who is this guy?
He's just a politician, a career politician, who has been a grifter and a liar all his life. I mean, I hate to say that about the president, but I think it's clear to everybody that he's a pathological, compulsive liar. You know, it went back to his early days when he tried to run for president and failed, when he was caught out plagiarizing, lying about his academic record. The lies are always about big noting himself. There's a deep insecurity there. He comes from not a hard scrabble family at all, like he makes up. But he certainly, there was problems at home. His father may have been an alcoholic, and he was put up on a pedestal as the oldest of four children by his mother, and the entire family just served Joe Biden and everything he wanted. They revolved around him. And so, of course, when he went into politics, his family was there. And this was a family that was not just doing noble deeds to help, a brother go into public service. This was a family who was in on a multi-million dollar grift. Joe Biden leveraged his position as the senator from the big corporate state, or the small state, very weird state of Delaware. But it is the home of all these corporates. So there was money sloshing around for a guy with no ethics and no morals to, get into. He was in the Senate. He had some quite powerful roles that were given to him by his friends who were actually segregationists and, I guess, older men who felt sorry for him because he'd had a genuine tragedy at the beginning of his career. But he milked that tragedy, his wife and his daughter being killed in a car crash. He used that photograph where, I'm sorry, but I have to say now, 40 some years later, that he was exploiting his two injured sons in the hospital bed, Hunter and Beau, when he got a photo taken of himself, invited the cameraman into their hospital room to get sworn in. Now, he could have done it in the corridor, but he decided he wanted those children, those injured, bandaged little boys, to be in the foreground of this photograph and tug the heartstrings of America, and it worked. He got sympathy and empathy, and he used that photograph in every campaign since. So that's the man he is. He's, corrupt, he's dishonest, and he goes, whatever works for Joe Biden, he will do or be anything.
He still does it, Miranda. I know you see this. He still does it with Beau all the time. All the time. I mean, I couldn't imagine losing a child. If I lost one of my sons, I would die. But yeah, it is a routine on the campaign trail now. It's just as natural as breathing for him to use Beau Biden to try to get a bump in the polls. It seems so sick.
And look, it's incredibly sad what happened to his family. The car crash, and then later on, Beau, who was the golden child. I mean, Joe Biden had put all his stock in this son that was going to take on the Biden dynasty and be president and, was going to be squeaky clean, while Hunter, the wayward child, was deputized to be the bad man. And then Beau died. And that was a devastating blow to Joe Biden in a narcissistic sense, as well as, I guess, a paternal sense. And Beau's death and his wife and his daughter's death much earlier, they had been used very usefully to him, very successfully by him, to boost his popularity, to draw the prayers of compassionate strangers. And so you can see him now that he's cognitively not all there. He's not as good at blarney as he used to be. He gets caught up in his lies more than he used to, although he was never very good at it. And now you see him desperately trying for these old tricks, and they just don't work because people have now seen through them. And once you've seen through them, There's just, I find it very difficult to feel sorry for him, although I know I should. I mean, the man is almost 80 years old. He shouldn't be in this position. But I feel more sorry for us. I feel more sorry for America that has a president that is putting us all at risk, the world at risk of a nuclear catastrophe, because he has no ability to act diplomatically or sensibly. And if anyone thinks that people behind the scenes who are more competent are running this administration, they just had to listen to that speech last night. That was vintage Joe Biden. This is not something you would do if you were a savvy political strategist. It was a disaster to be berating the voters the way he was, berating the American people. Such an ugly, angry speech. All it would do was solidify the people who decided to vote against Democrats and vote against Joe Biden. But he's out of control. No one can control him.
Miranda, what do you see for him post-election? Let's assume pretty safely that it's going to be this big red wave that everyone sees coming. Well, I mean, you just laid it out perfectly well. He's a lying, vindictive jerk. He always has been. And he also is in very poor health. And I'm not excited about that. I don't want any harm to come to Joe Biden. But if he is suffering from dementia or whatever he's suffering from, having a Republican House and Republican Senate is going to add a stress level that I think is going to be physically very dangerous for him on top of everything else.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, he doesn't really seem to be affected by stress. He's this odd sort of person, sort of, I would call it a con man persona, who really gets calmer as the sort of cops are knocking on the door. So I don't think he'll be affected by stress. I think what will happen, though, is that his party, which has just, you know, hung on to him until now to try and give the sort of facade that everything's going well, sort of a Potemkin presidency, and they've covered up for him up to a point. But already you're seeing, as this sort of red tsunami seems inevitable, you're seeing people like Gavin Newsom, you're seeing columnists like George Will, and even Don Lemon, start to back away a million hours from Joe Biden and start saying things about, you know, perhaps using the 25th Amendment, saying that he is not able to pivot, that he is too old, he can't run again, et cetera, et cetera. And you're seeing Kamala sort of come out and try and burnish her reputation, although I don't know if that's actually possible. And of course, you're seeing Gavin Newsom, who seems to be the kind of the guy who's measuring the White House for curtains. He's coming out and sort of acting like a statesman. So I think they'll get rid of Joe Biden before 2024, and they'll try to cobble together some sort of a regime or administration that's more palatable to the American people and try and win back, you know, suburban white women, Hispanics, you know, independents, and a lot of Democrats who have now realized that they the error of their ways when they went with Joe Biden.
Miranda, I want to ask you just real quick, because you have a great piece today I want people to go read in the New York Post, titled "How the Government Hid the Truth Behind Hunter Biden's Laptop." It was a eye-opening read for me. At least hit the high points so people can go read this thing.
Well, look, I go into the Intercept story about the incredible collusion between the Department of Homeland Security, but also the FBI and the Biden administration and big tech. And into that, I've added this new book that's coming out from John Paul MacIsaac, the wonderful hero of the Biden laptop story, who was the computer repair shop owner, of course, and just the travails that he had and how the FBI abused him. He trusted them and they buried the laptop. He was savvy enough to suspect that. He kept a copy and he managed finally to contact Rudy Giuliani, and the rest is history. But in the meantime, he's been harassed, driven out of business. The IRS came after him. He is a true American hero, and I hope everyone gets his book, American Injustice. It's out at the end of this month.
Gosh, we do. I'll tell you what, I'm having him on. I'm going to promote that daggone book. Miranda, you're the best. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse. You too.
All right. We have a senator joining us next. We'll see how he does. Before we get to him, let's do this. You're not stuck in your timeshare. about that? Some good news. If you're in a timeshare and you want out, and they've told you, no, you got to read the fine print. Sorry, you can't get out. They're wrong. You can get out. Lone Star Transfer does it. 99% success rate. 99%. They sniffed out a dirty industry, and they've gone after it, and they're helping people. This is a family company. They've helped 16,000 people, over 16,000 now, legally and permanently get out of their timeshare. You are not stuck in your timeshare. You think you are because they've been lying to you, but you're not. Lone Star guarantees it. In writing, they even give you a time frame. One phone call. Make one phone call. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. Or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
Ford Motor Company and General Motors and other companies around the world have spent hundreds of billions of dollars retooling their plants. Why? Because they're going electric. And by 2035, that's all we're going to have in America, electric cars being manufactured, not on the road, but being sold in new cars. That's President Biden's goal. So if we accelerate these efforts, which is what technology and entrepreneurial activity help us to do, this is going to change even faster.
Just want to make sure before I bring in the senator here, everyone understands all of humanity, not just America, all of humanity runs on oil and gas now. Everything around you, not just your car. Oil is involved. It makes everything. It carries everything. If you declare war on oil and gas, you declare war on humanity itself. The results would be worse than anything you can possibly imagine. Joining me now, Senator from the great state of Kansas, Senator Roger Marshall. Senator, this weird commitment to destroying what makes everything just dumbfounds me. I'm not trying to overstate it, but we're talking about a billion people dead. You can't eliminate oil and gas, and you definitely can't accelerate it, Senator, yet this is the position of the entire Democratic Party now.
Yeah, Jesse, I think you make a great point. Think about American history and all the innovation, the great moments in our history are driven by American energy. It's one of the great resources that God has given us, that we can be energy independent, and we once were, and we know how to do that again. You know, a real big picture here is that energy accounts for 30% of the inflation right now. We're never going to solve inflation unless we bring energy prices down, but here's what's scary. Joe Biden wants $5 a gallon gasoline, because that's the only way electricity can ever compete with this. Not only do electric cars cost $10,000 more to make, even with government subsidies, to fuel them, it probably costs $5 of electricity to do the same type of work that a gallon of gasoline would do. So that's the challenge for them right now. I was born and raised in the oil patch. We were blessed with great natural sources. We need to use them. And last thing I would just say is this. I want to leave this world cleaner, healthier, and safer than we found it. And we're doing that. America's at a 25-year low in carbon production. We're 14% less than a decade, thanks to American innovation, not government rules and regulations.
Senator, has anyone even considered the electrical grid when we talk about going all electric? I know in states even like Texas, because we've gone with these idiotic windmills now, our electrical grid is strained, certainly in the summertime when it's 9,000 degrees down here. If everybody goes to an electric car, we don't have enough electricity in the country to support such a thing, not even close.
Right. Well, certainly it's something that I take in consideration, sitting on the Energy Committee. These are the exact questions I asked the Department of Energy. And I am certain we would have to at least increase our grid by 50%, if not 100%, to accommodate electric cars like they're talking about. So for every place you see a power line, we would need a second power line. What would be the impact of that? And I just want to talk about wind energy just for a second. To this, right now in Kansas, over 50% of our electricity is generated by wind. And I was all in to begin with, but it's driving the price of it up. Two-thirds of the electricity we generate from wind in Kansas goes out of the state, but Kansans are paying for two-thirds of it. And you talk about an environmental impact. Every one of those power lines They're twice as high. They're made out of steel. The power poles are as now. So those are having an environmental impact. We need to have an honest cradle-to-grave assessment of environmental impact, not just carbon savings. And net-net, I'm not convinced that any of it solves the problem. And by the way, there's nothing even on the drawing board that's remotely close to allowing wind and solar to provide the baseload that we need.
Joe Biden got up there last night, among other things, and had this to say.
There's nothing, nothing that will create more chaos, more inflation, and more damage to the American economy than this. Think about it. Republicans are determined to hold the economy hostage, either given to their demands on Social Security and Medicare, which millions of Americans rely on and earned and paid for, or Republicans are going to crash the economy.
What is the Republican plan? I know you're going to be limited. I'm not naive. It's not like you can start getting bills passed so Joe Biden can just go veto them. But what is the Republican plan? Because people are hurting right now.
Yeah, Jesse, I think number one is to stop Joe Biden's radical agenda. That we need to stop, to slow down his spending, his taxing, and his overregulation. You know, the number one concern that we hear from Kansans is the price of gas and the price of groceries. So our plan is to unleash American energy and American agriculture. That's what's going to bring the price down. I think our next focus is going to be to secure the borders, to make our families safe again, to drive fentanyl out of this country, off the streets, off social media. And my third priority is to make sure that parents have control and input to where their kids are going to school. I think that's where we're going to start. There's lots more we're going to get after as well. I think that's where we start. We have to stop Joe Biden's radical agenda.
Senator, thank you for coming on.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Jesse.
All right. Well, one of the main problems we have in this country is we don't have a firm anti-communist, bold Republican Party. We have a low-T Republican Party. I have joked a bunch about sending all of our Republicans in the House and Senate a free subscription to Chalk. Get them all a male vitality stack. Because with all natural herbal supplements from Chalk, the male vitality stack, you can see a 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. And Lord knows the GOP needs that. I might get a hold of my buddies at Chalk and see if they can double it, because I'm not sure 20% is enough. How much can you increase? Zero. Anyway, go to choq.com, in all seriousness, and get yourself a male vitality stack, fellas. It's important. You got to feel good. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack. It's not just for the dudes. We have lit powder there. We have so many natural herbal supplements, U.S. manufacturing, by the way. And just know you're supporting the most hardcore anti-communists I've ever known. These guys at Chalk are awesome. 35% off the subscriptions right now with the promo code Jesse. choq.com, promo code Jesse. All right? We'll be back. You remember when we did the first ever hottest woman in Congress list, right? It was a huge hit. The feminists loved it. Just a heads up, we're doing it again next year, too. Look, we have an obligation to the people to put out a new list every 2 years as Congress continues to change hands. What? We'll always show the proper amount of respect to the first winner of it, Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert, to her credit, she really blasted the Denver Post, and I enjoyed it. And that's what we're doing tonight for Lighten the Mood.
Hey everyone, Lauren Boebert here. Did you know the Denver Post recently wrote an article begging people in Western Colorado not to vote for me? Well, I decided to talk with my constituents in Grand Junction, Colorado to see just how effective that article was. Let's go check it out.
Would you say that the Denver Post ever publishes lies?
Oh, of course, all the time.
The Denver Post just recently wrote an article begging Colorado's 3rd District voters to not vote for me.
Well, they're stupid. That's what they are.
Do you think that the Denver Post ever lies?
Yes. It's all fake news.
Do you plan on voting for me? Yeah? Okay, so with that... Do you think that the Denver Post ever lies?
They all do, don't they?
I think so. The Denver Post begged Western voters in Colorado's 3rd District to not give me their vote.
I saw the headlines and I ignored it.
That's pretty well done right there. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.